Redeem the time. Most of us have probably redeemed a coupon at some point or another in our lives. And we understand the idea of redeeming something. We understand that that coupon is absolutely worthless unless it is redeemed at the proper store on the proper item. The time works the same way. Our time is wasted and worthless and useless if it's not redeemed on the proper things and in the proper way. Scripture that was read from Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 17, teaches us several things. First of all, in verse 14, it teaches us to wake up. You know, some of us are just sleeping our time away, and I don't necessarily mean the literal sleep. We all have to have sleep. We understand that. But some of us spiritually are just asleep. We are just along for the ride, and we're asleep, and we're missing out on so much. Ephesians 5:14 tells us to wake up. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Some of us spiritually are dead. And we need to get up. We need to come to life. He says, then Christ will give you light. He'll shine on you. He'll bring some light into your life. But you got to wake up. When your eyes are closed, it's hard to see the light. And then verse 15 teaches us that we need to look around and see where we are. He says, walk circumspectly. And the idea of walking circumspectly, circumspect having the idea of a circumference, a circle. Look around, in other words. You do that when you're walking down a dark alley at night, don't you? You're looking around, making sure nothing can sneak up on you. You do that if you feel nervous. You go into your house at night, maybe. Maybe you found the door wasn't locked like you thought you had left it. And so you're looking around everywhere to make sure you're okay. Well, we need to do that spiritually as well. We need to walk looking around, looking at our lives and looking at the things around us and watching out for the devil and for his henchmen and for his snares. You ever seen, or maybe you've done it, you're just walking along and not paying attention to where you go and trip in a hole or trip over something that's laying on the ground or step off a curb that you didn't know was there and you wind up stumbling and falling because you weren't looking at where you were going. You weren't walking circumspectly. We need to look and see where we are. Once we see where we are, then we can make the appropriate decisions about where to go from there. If you look up and find you're lost in the woods, you have to start figuring out what you're going to do. If you look up and find you're in the middle of a highway and there's a car coming, you got to figure out what you're going to do. Where are you going to go? If you look up and find that your life is being wasted, then you have to ask yourself, well, what, am I going to keep on wasting my life or am I going to make something of the rest of it? Am I going to keep going the way I've been going or am I going to turn around and go in a different direction? Verse 17 teaches us that we need to understand God's will. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be wise, in other words. Understand. You know, so many times we have trouble with the way we spend our time because of the fact that we don't understand what the Lord's will is. We think we understand, and we understand a few basic principles, the things that we've been taught, but we don't really understand what God's will for our lives is. We may know a little bit about the church. We may know, well, God doesn't want me to kill, and He doesn't want me to steal, and But what about the good things that He does want us to do? Do we understand those things? Have we studied His Word? Have we even read it to know what He wants from us? But verse 16 is the verse we want to focus on. Redeem the time. Redeem it. Make use of it. And He gives us a reason. He says, because the days are evil. We need to make the best use of our time because of the fact that we live in a time where there is so much wickedness. Each and every day, you pick up a newspaper, you turn on the news, you see, this past week, a thing about a fellow that he killed 48 or 49 people, he said. Wicked, evil in this world. We see the wars raging all around the world. We see the abortions being committed. We see the murders being committed. We see the crime rates. And we see the days are evil. It hasn't changed since the time Paul wrote this. The days are still evil. And there are less of us who are working for God than there are those who are working for the devil. I mean, we need to put in more time. We need to make the best use of our time to try to counteract all of the evil influence that Satan's servants are putting in the world. We need to work hard. This poem describes the idea of one who has lived his life without doing what was right. I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground, the fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we had lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown, with thorns and nettles everywhere the seeds neglect had sown. The years had passed while I had cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go when minding things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for Thee, not many years to live. The wasted years forever gone, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make Him Lord of all. Theodore Brennan wrote that. Don't know what he had done with his life, but at the end of that life he felt as though he had wasted so much of it. How many of us will wake up? Maybe you already have woken up. Well, what have I done with my life? But how many of those young people out here today are going to wake up one day and say, what did I do with my life? Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come. Remember while you have time. Oh, how much easier it is to pull up a little tree, if we think of bad habits as little trees that grow in our lives. How easy it is, you go and you just pluck that thing out of the ground. But you wait until that thing's grown 30 or 40 years, and then you try to pluck up that tree. You see, while you're young, you have the opportunity to form good habits and to form good ways of living. To do the right things and ingrain in yourself good behavior so that you don't have to try to change it all later on in life when it's so much harder to change those things. The good news is for each and every one of us that when we will wake up and when we will look around and see where we are and when we'll understand God's will, we can redeem the time. We can, no matter what age in life we are, we can start right there doing what God wants us to do. Doesn't matter if you've wasted 30, 40, 50, 60 years of your life or more. You can wake up and you can turn it around and you can start to do what God wants you to do. We need to understand that life is short. Oh, I know when we're young, we don't think so. We think we're going to live forever. But life, even if we live to 80 or 90 or even 100, life is short. I was talking to the young people last week, and we were talking about Noah. And we were talking about the fact that he was 500 years old when he began working on that ark. And he was 600 years old when he went into that ark. And he lived some more years after the flood. And I thought, he really lived that old. But even that life, and even the other lives of those patriarchs who lived for 800 and 900 years, even those lives were short when they are to be compared with eternity. We need to understand that life is short. 1 Peter 1 and verse 24, Peter says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower fades away. It falls off. A flower just doesn't last very long, does it? Just doesn't last. We need to redeem the time while we can. Ecclesiastes 6:12 says, for who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? You know, sometimes we think we're going to leave a legacy behind. We're going to leave money for our children, or we're going to do something that's so important that we'll be remembered down through the ages. But most never will. And even those who are remembered aren't really remembered all that much. Oh, we may remember their name. We may remember, oh, George Washington, he was the first president. But do we know anything about what he really did or who he really was? Was he someone worthy of admiration? Was he a man of good character? Or was he like the politicians that we have today? You know, was he just a scoundrel like them? We don't really know much about these people. Oh, we may remember the name Caesar, but do we really know much about it? Or Pharaoh, but do we know? You know, we remember some few things. Oh, maybe they put up a monument to somebody, a statue to the soldiers that died in a war. But most people don't even recognize any of those names. And many times even the family who knew those soldiers, the family grows old, they die off, and the grandchildren don't know who those people were. Sometimes we are so focused on this world and on the physical things, and we want to make a memory for ourselves. But Solomon says, who can tell what's going to happen to him after him under the sun? Those people who thought they were great leaders, thought they were really making a mark on the world, years later, they were proclaimed to be evil people, and everyone despised them for the things that they have done. They thought they were doing a great thing at the time. But he says, our life passes like a shadow. You ever out on a sunny day, and maybe there's a little cloud up there, and that cloud will pass in front of the sun, and just for a moment, you have a little bit of relief. There's a little shadow, and it feels a little cooler for just a little bit. But then that cloud passes on by, and the sun glares down again. And that's the way our life is. It's just a shadow for a moment. There's no real substance to it. Oh, we think this life, this is real, this is reality. But no, the reality are the things that we cannot see. The reality is heaven. The reality is the spirit that dwells within us that's going to depart and leave this physical body dead. That's the reality. James 4 and 14. James says, for as you do not know what will happen on the morrow, for what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Just like a vapor. That's all there is to it. Psalm 90 and verse 10 says, the days of our lives are 70 years. The King James says 70 and 10. That's 70 years. And if by reason of strength, 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. all those years. But what did we do with them? Did we do something useful with them? Are we doing something useful with the years that we have? Since our life is short, we need to use our time wisely. Psalm 90 and verse 12, the psalmist says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And he doesn't mean that we just spend all of our life counting, "Oh, this is day one, this is day two, this is day three." No, but number our days, to understand that our days are limited, that there is a set number, that they're going to run out, that we don't have forever, that we can't always put it off until tomorrow. Oh, I know Annie sang the song, there's always, you know, tomorrow, the sun will come out tomorrow and all these things. There's not always a tomorrow. Today may be all we have, and we need to make sure we make the most of it. If we waste today looking for tomorrow or worrying about yesterday, then we've wasted the only day we have. Today. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going." You can't work when you're dead. Do it now. Take advantage of this opportunity. And because life is short, and we do need to use our time wisely, we need to think about then how we're going to use our time wisely. We know we need to. There are so many things we know that we need to do, but that we don't do. But this one is of such vital importance. We need to use our time wisely. We need to ask ourselves, if I could only do one thing, what one thing would that be? You know, that's kind of the way, you know, when it comes to budgeting our money. I like to listen to the fellow on the radio, Dave Ramsey on the radio. He talks about budgeting and making, you know, getting out of debt and paying, you know, saving money and all these kind of things. But one of the things that he always tells people when they're working on their budget, he said, if you could only do one thing, if you only had enough money for one thing, what would that thing be? And he said, well, that one thing obviously would be to eat. That's first, isn't it? First thing, you go make sure you've got food to eat, because without that, you're going to soon be dead and you won't be able to do anything else, even if you had the money. So that's the first thing on the list. And then he said, you know, after that, then you go on down. You know, you make sure you have a roof over your head. You make sure you've got clothes. You make sure, you know, and he said, you should prioritize. You decide what's most important. If I could only spend money on one thing, if I can only afford to do one thing, what do I do? We need to do the same thing with our time. If this was the last hour I had, what would I spend it on? How would I do it? We budget our time. We say, okay, we've got 24 hours today. I know I'm going to sleep 6 or 8 or whatever. I know I'm going to sleep that much. Okay, I've got that amount. Okay, now I've got 16 hours left. Well, I know I've got to eat during the day, and so I'm going to allot a certain amount of time for eating. And I don't mean that we have to be so rigid and scheduled that things have to happen exactly at a certain time or else our whole lives are destroyed. But we just need to think about what we're doing with our time. Keep a journal one day. Write down from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night how you spent your time during that day. You may be surprised at how much time you spent doing nothing. And how little time you spent doing something that really mattered to you. It's so easy for us to just get sidetracked. Maybe we're on our way to do something and then the phone rang. And so we had to go answer the phone. And so we answer the phone. And then that leads to a little conversation for 15 minutes. And then after that conversation, we forgot what we were going to do. So we get off to do something else. And then before you know it, you know, oh, well, I'm getting hungry. I need to eat something. And then, well, I've eaten something. And now I've got to let that settle, so I better rest a few minutes. And on through the day, and by the end of the day, we come down to it, and what have we done? We ate, and we slept, and we wasted the rest of the day. Didn't do anything with it. So we need to think about it. If I could only do one thing, if I only had, you know, we all know we have 24 hours in every day. And yet, amazingly enough, some people manage to do so much more with those 24 hours than other people. Why? Because they have a plan for what they're going to do. They don't just let life happen to them. They go out and attack life. They have a plan. They're going to do something. I know at times I've been irritated at a certain person, perhaps because they said, well, look, you know, I've enjoyed talking with you. I've got to go. I've got things I've got to do. And well, that's kind of rude. But then I get to thinking about it. You know what? They're right. They don't need to spend all of their time talking to me. Or they need to go on and do something else. They have some other thing. They ought to make those priorities, and they ought to make those decisions about how they're going to spend their time and determine, I've spent enough time on this for today. I need to go on to something else. We may feel like, oh, I don't want to be rude and cut somebody off or something. But sometimes we just have to say, look, I need to do some other things. I have other things that I have as a priority in my life that need to get accomplished. We have to give account for all of our life and how we spend it. And what a shame it would be to stand before the judgment seat and say, well, I don't really know how I spent all my time. I just went along with the flow, and whatever happened, happened. We need to use our time wisely in our family relationships, with our mates, with our parents, with our children, with siblings and other family members. We can do that. We need to have some family relationships. We need to have time set aside to get together with the family. I know Rose and Carol and their family, they had a get together for their dad for a birthday and had a big birthday party. And most of the family made time to be there and enjoy that time together. That was a good thing for them to get together as a family. But now it'd be something if they wanted to do that every day. And just, well, let's just have us a party every day, and we'll just, all the family, and that's all we'll do. Well, that'd be ridiculous. We know that. No, that wouldn't happen. But it's good to have some time for family relationship, but we also have to understand it can't be all the time. And we can't always give all of the time that we want to some of those things because we have other responsibilities. So we need to make the most of that time that we do have and not waste it. When it comes to our family relationships, make good use of that time. What a shame it is when people only have a little bit of time with their family and they spend that whole time fussing and fighting. What a shame. You know, you only have a few hours and you're going to spend all that time arguing and fussing and fighting about something. What a waste. Spend your time together in a good way, in a positive way. So what about our spiritual relationships? We need to be spending our time in our spiritual relationships doing three things. One, getting to know some different individuals. First of all, we need to get to know the Father. Titus 1 and verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. We need to get to know the Father. We need to get to know God. And I don't mean, you know, just imagine it. Well, I wonder what God would... No, actually get to know Him. We don't have to wonder what God would want us to do. We can read. He told us what He wants us to do. And so we need to get to know God. We need to get to know His Son. We need to get to know Jesus. We can do that as well. Philippians 3, 8-11 says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish or dung, the King James says, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. To know Christ. To really know Him. To be able, when the question comes, what would Jesus do? To know what He'd do because we know what He did. We know how he lives his life. I've been, this past year of my life, thinking so much more about how I spend my time. I woke up one morning and realized, you know, I'm the same age that Jesus was when he died. He had completed everything he needed to do on earth by the time he was my age. And I wondered, what have I done with mine? What if that had been all I had? Have I done anything worthwhile? Fortunately, God's given me more time than Christ had. What am I going to do with the rest of that time? Am I going to make good use of it? We need to get to know His Word. John 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the truth, of course, is the Word of God. And we can be made free by that truth. And of course, then we need to get to know His family, our fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans 12, 10 through 13. Paul says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality." He tells us, we need to have a family relationship with God's family, our spiritual family, as well as our physical family. In fact, in some ways, it's much more important. Because our spiritual family are the people we're going to be spending eternity with. Many in our physical family, we won't be seeing on the other side. Certainly, we want to do what we can to reach them, which brings us to the second way that we need to be spending our time, spiritually speaking, and that is reaching out to the lost. Whether it be a family member, a friend, or even a total stranger. John 4:35, Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white for the harvest." He was talking spiritually. He wasn't talking about the physical fields. He was talking about the spiritual fields. Ready to harvest. The harvest is out there. We've got to go out into the field. And then, of course, we must do the will of God in our own lives. And this overflows all of these others and spreads into all these other categories. We know, of course, reaching out to the lost is part of doing His will. We know having a relationship with our spiritual family is part of doing His will. But there's so much more that's involved in it. John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." We need to be working. We need to be doing. It doesn't mean that we have to neglect the other things in our life. In fact, that's the wonderful thing about Christianity. It becomes a part of everything else in our life. It's not something that has to take away time from other things. Instead, it's something that can be done while doing other things. While we're spending time with our family and friends, we can also be spending time doing God's will and reaching out to the lost. It works together. We have the opportunities to do good. But the question really comes, are we going to put it off and procrastinate, or are we going to do it? The story is told of the soap maker and the preacher who were walking together down a street in a large city. And the soap manufacturer casually said, "You know, the gospel that you preach hasn't done much good, has it? And just look, there's still a lot of wickedness in the world, and there are a lot of wicked people." The preacher didn't say anything. They just kept walking. Then they passed a dirty little child making mud pies in the gutter. And the preacher took the opportunity to say, "Look, I see the soap that you make hasn't done much good in the world. There's much dirt and many dirty people around." And the soap maker replied, "Oh, well, soap is only useful when it is applied." And the minister replied, "Exactly. So it is with the gospel. It's only useful when it's applied." is we know it, but we don't use it. It didn't make any difference that we knew it. It didn't do us any good. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 7 as we close. The psalmist says, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. One little minute. Just a tiny little minute. Only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon him, on me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it. Didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Each little minute is so important. So much can be done in just 60 seconds. Sometimes it seems because we're busy with things that the minutes fly by. But the fact of the matter is that if we just sat and stared at the second hand on the clock for a minute, it would seem like such a long time. I guess that's how y'all feel sometimes when the preacher's up here preaching. Boy, the minutes are dragging by now, but boy, don't they fly by when you're eating or out fishing or playing a game or talking on the phone. Boy, they fly by then. But, you know, the minute is the same amount of time regardless of what you're doing with it. There's so many things that we can do. So much that can be done with each and every minute. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become one today. If you're willing to hear the Word of God, as Sergius Paulus was in Acts 13 and verse 17. He called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the Word of God. After hearing, you must believe. John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. We must believe. We must have faith. That faith will drive us to repentance. Acts 20 and verse 21, they were testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then confession is so important. Acts 19 and verse 18 said, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. We must be baptized as well. We must show in deeds, in works, in the things that we do, that our faith is real. 1 Peter 3, 18 through 22 says, Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein that is few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. And then, of course, we must continue to live faithfully. Acts 2 and verse 42 of the early Christians, it said, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued. It wasn't just a one-time thing. They continued. If you're here this morning and you need to obey that gospel, believing on Jesus Christ who died and rose again, and being willing to submit yourself to His ordinances and His law, then you can do that today. If you are a Christian, but perhaps you've been wasting your Christian life, been wasting your time instead of putting it to good use, you too may need to respond to the invitation as we stand and as we sing.